I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Yesterday, we began a conversation with Dr. James Braxton Peterson, who will give the University of Oregon's annual Lorwin Lecture on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties on Thursday evening, October 22nd, in the EMU Ballroom on the UO campus. It begins a year-long focus on themes of justice by the Oregon Humanities Center. Dr. Peterson's talk is entitled, A Song, a Slogan, and a Service, Dispatches from the Movement for Black Lives. It reflects his multifaceted work as scholar, social commentator, and social justice activist. In yesterday's interview, Dr. Peterson spoke of the challenges of using the civil rights movement of the 1960s as a benchmark against which to measure progress in solving issues of injustice and inequality, of hip-hop's positive contributions, of the blind spots within the black social justice movement, and of how we can move into and beyond the difficult conversations needed, particularly regarding the country's gun culture. My question now is, where do those issues, especially around gun violence, intersect with the Black Lives Matter movement?
There are some root issues here. When we think about Black Lives Matter, one of the, I think, crowning achievements of the movement thus far has been to bring topics into public conversation. So bringing police brutality, mass incarceration in the prison industrial complex, the unchecked sort of murder of transgender and transsexual individuals across this nation. The capacity to do that has been one of the things that I commend the movement for. And I think that is a model for how we might begin to think about addressing issues around gun culture. But remember, the Black Lives Matter movement is also interested in violence in poor black communities. And some of that violence is intra-racial violence, right? It's not just law enforcement and police brutality. It's not just these extreme exceptional cases like Dylann Roof in South Carolina. It is also what some folks, I think, incorrectly refer to as black-on-black crime. But there is intra-racial crime. In fact, all crime is, or most crime is intra-racial, that is proliferating in poor communities, many inner city communities, and that is a gun control, common sense gun safety issue. And so many of these cities have great municipal level gun common sense safety or gun policies in place, but they're very, very difficult to enforce because once you get out into the suburbs, you get out into the rural areas, and once you get online, there's loopholes everywhere. There's gun show loopholes, there's online loopholes, there's illegal and secondary sales. And again, that is a conversation that goes beyond the Second Amendment. That is about addressing gun culture. It is about enforcing policies, but it is also about just getting some of those guns out of these communities. And so I think that's where the intersection, I think, is very, very important. We're losing lots of black lives to gun violence across the board. And because that's an important intersection, I think it's important for Black Lives Matter as a movement to understand how gun policy and common sense gun safety impacts issues that I think are dear to them and central to how that movement is constructed.
It's challenging sometimes in a place like where I am in the Willamette Valley, where it's an overwhelmingly white place, to know how best to intersect with the Black Lives Matter movement and the issues it brings up. Do you have any advice for those of us in a rather white place for educating ourselves and making a difference?
This is a good question. And, you know, the Bernie Sanders campaign has been grappling with this for months now.
Uh-huh.
It's complicated. And I think one thing that we should understand first here is pay attention to how segregated our society is in the 21st century. You know, we used to think that you could just go to churches and see the most segregated spaces of American society in the late 20th and 21st century. You can see that same level of segregation between rural versus urban areas. You can see the same level of segregation in some of our school systems or across some of our school systems. And so we have, I think the first step is acknowledging what it means that we've become a segregated society. It means in some ways that our issues are siloed. And let's take gun control, for example. And so you have a large swath of the black community living in urban or suburban areas where gun control policy needs to be different than what it may need to be in rural areas for hunters. And so there are many, many issues that will cut in different ways depending upon where you live. And I think if we can take some of that to heart, it will make us better listeners. What I would say to all the folks in your region of the world is listen, and listen without prejudice. And I'm not trying to say everyone is racist, but listen without prejudice, which means hear folks out and understand the angst and the frustration from which the sort of cries and the lamentations coming out of the Black Lives Matter community are coming. If you remember when the Black Lives Matter activists sort of took over Bernie Sanders' rally in Seattle, it was so disturbing. People were like, why are they so loud and why are they this and why are they that? Bernie Sanders is with them. Well, we need to just take a step back and look at the issues here. You know, Seattle is, you know, a legitimate progressive city, but it's had its own slate of challenges historically along racial lines and anti-black racism. You can say the same of some of the progressive spaces like Netroots Convention and other areas where white progressives gather and address certain issues, but anti-black racism is not a priority on those lists of things that have to be addressed. And so I think a lot of activists are not going to be polite about trying to interject those issues into the conversation. And I would charge and challenge our white folks and white brothers and sisters out there to just listen without prejudice. See if you can understand the historical context of frustration and angst out of which some of this energy of the Black Lives Matter movement comes. Now, if you cannot do that, then I would charge and challenge folks to just read up a bit on the history of mass incarceration, on the history of police brutality, on the sort of ways in which anti-black racism in the United States has been able to, in very innovative ways, transform itself from the transatlantic slavery moment in and through the Jim Crow moment and into sort of Reconstruction, the response to Reconstruction, and on through the 20th century into the 21st century. Look at the different iterations of anti-black racism across the history of the U.S., and then you can better appreciate the frustration with which many people in the Black Lives Matter movement are speaking.
I'm speaking with Dr. James Braxton Peterson, who hosts the Remix podcast on WHYY in Philadelphia, is an MSNBC commentator and founder of Hip Hop Scholars Incorporated, also the director of Africana Studies at Lehigh University. He will speak at the EMU Ballroom on the UO campus on Thursday, October 22nd. Is there anything else from your dispatches from the Movement for Black Lives that you're bringing that you'd like our listeners to know in advance of the talk that you'll be giving?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but the last piece is my own personal reflections on spending some time at Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina just a few weeks after the awful massacre occurred there. And I have this opportunity to kind of pay attention to how that congregation, how that church community is wrestling with that massacre. And I have to be honest with you, in my work, I'm becoming more and more interested. Some people say I'm obsessed with death. I don't think that's the case. But I am becoming more and more interested in how we wrestle with the loss and the pain and the absence at the community level, individual level, regional level, and national level around these tragic cases. And I think there's something to be said for what Emmanuel AME is attempting to do to try to recuperate and restore itself after such an awful tragedy occurred. And so I think that's I end the talk in trying to wrestle with some of those ideas. And I'll be honest with your listeners now, and I'll be honest with the audience once I get to U of O, that I'm still working through that. I'm still trying to figure out what are the appropriate and most restorative ways for us to wrestle with black death in the 21st century. It's a complicated charge that I've given myself and that I want to sort of take out into the community to make sure that we're processing, thinking, and engaging in the restorative justice practices that these tragic events require.
Well, I really salute both your courage and your intelligence and eloquence in bringing all these issues to the forefront. I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes today.
Thank you, Eric. I'm trying.
Dr. James Braxton Peterson, who will deliver the first talk in the Oregon Humanities Center's year-long focus on issues of justice. He'll give the UO's annual Lorwin Lecture on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties on Thursday, October 22nd at 7:30 p.m. in the EMU Ballroom on the UO campus. The talk is titled A Song, a Slogan, and a Service, Dispatches from the Movement for Black Lives. The talk is free and will be live-streamed via the web as well. For more information on the talk, ohc.uoregon.edu. For more on Dr. Peterson, visit drjamespeterson.com, and for an extended version of this interview, klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.